everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy engineering and producing, Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom, should I hit the panic button? There was not a cloud in the sky yesterday, and it is darn hot and getting hotter, going up to 107 or something.
At least 106.
Well, and we're gonna slim have chances a few days of rain. Boy, I hope we get more than the 1 inch of rain that we've had up at our place. If there ever was a summer that
we needed
rain.
Is that your test tube rain gauge?
Yeah, that's the test tube rain gauge. Anyway, I'm just saying, maybe. I know it's still kind of early. It's only July, 8th? Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show for July 8th in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our 12th, we got 11 and a half years now with the radio show and 34 and a half years on TV and radio here. We had someone ask me just today how long I had been in the business, and I said, more than a half century, let's put it that way. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, proud of our archive going all the way back to the first week of January 2011. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Our thanks to Dylan Smith over there. Dan Shears with me in studio today. A pleasure to see Dan from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, thank you very much for hosting a couple of shows while I was over in Hawaii having a great time for my 50th wedding anniversary. My wife keeps saying, please, Bill, do not say any more about being a 50th wedding anniversary. Let's just say we were married very young. Should we leave it like that? But anyway, you saw the pictures from over there.
Loved
it was just a great trip. And Leah Marquez Peterson's with us in studio. She's a big fan of ours on Facebook. You saw her.
I did. It looked wonderful.
And we saw all of your wonderful pictures from Spain and Portugal. You did the 100 miles of what's called the walk or the
Camino de Santiago.
Yeah, that went very well for you.
It was wonderful.
All right, other media partners, Tucson Local Media Group. They've got Inside Tucson Business. We'll hear from their food and beverage columnist at the end of the show. Matt Russell today, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Along with Dan Shear, we do have Leah Marquez Peterson, the chairwoman of the five-member Arizona Corporation Commission, which was created in the Arizona Constitution. Only seven states have constitutionally formed commissions. Arizona is one of only 13 with elected commissions. In most states, the commission is simply known as the Public Utility Commission, but there's a lot more, isn't there, Leah, to this commission?
There is, and I appreciate the opportunity to explain what do we do, because you'll see our commission on the ballot, each election cycle, but we regulate the utility industry, and that's electricity, water, gas, and wastewater. We handle railroad and pipeline safety. We incorporate all the businesses in the state. For small business owners listening out there, you've gone through our website. And then we tackle securities fraud. So very diverse. We also have been very engaged in telecommunications. We have limited jurisdiction there. But think of us as kind of the infrastructure, utilities, and so on throughout the state.
Here's Dan Shear.
And we know that you're just getting back from St. John's. First of all, you're going to have to tell a lot of people where that is. And they were having some problems with 911 service being interrupted. Can you explain what happened on there and why you were there?
Right. As part of our telecommunications responsibility, we regulate and oversee 911 service. And just take a moment and think how important that is to your family, to our communities. And we've had issues up in northern Arizona. St. John's is near Sholo, Springerville area, and their service went down for many hours, and that's still kind of in debate right now, how many hours.
They were are you saying they were without up there in northeastern Arizona, without 911 service?
Correct.
That's a huge problem.
And it's not the first time, and this has happened in different spots throughout the state. So we went up to host an emergency town hall with Frontier, which is their telecommunications firm that provides that. They provide kind of the backbone, the fiber in the community. And we worked with Chief Spivey, who's their chief of police, their Mayor Udall, and others, and had many folks show up last night to give comment. we captured that, and we're in the middle of determining, you know, what our next steps are at the commission. But
are they up and running now?
They are. They are. So there was actually shotgun blast to their transformer, which took out the fiber. But there's a lot of concern about the speed in which it was brought back to completion.
Well, we appreciate you hitting the road early today, 6 a.m. or so, to make it to the Buckmaster show today. What's this about you not being a transparent person? I mean, every time we've had you on the show, you've talked about as chairperson or chairwoman for the Arizona Corporation Commission, it has been all about transparency. But there were some headlines that you wanted to start holding confidential briefings with economists and business professionals to learn about the latest economic development projects and future outlook, and then you were criticized for that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about this, Bill, because as those know, I am a transparent person. I'm trying to get out and speak to groups around the state, explain what the commission does, and encourage people to weigh in. So my intent with the letter that I wrote to my fellow commissioners and our staff was that we needed to get ahead of the economic development curve. A lot of times when companies are coming, particularly to Phoenix, because there's so much growth going on, I'm reading about it in the newspaper, just like you are.
Sure.
And I thought we need to start having economic development briefings so we can see trends in terms of energy usage, water usage, understanding of the impact to our regulated environment. The challenge we have is we are an open meeting organization. That means that if the five of us are there, we have to follow open meeting protocols. So my letter that I wrote that I think was taken out of proportion and exaggerated by the Arizona Daily Star, from my perspective, was saying these are secret meetings I'm, you know, positioning. And that's not the case. I was trying to determine a way in which we could hear confidential information about companies that are interested in coming to Arizona in a way that we could still have all five of us in one room.
What happened?
Too complicated, could not work it out. What happens now is that each commissioner meets with folks when there's confidential information. We have to do it individually.
Okay.
So I'm going to move forward in that regard and just talk to whether it's the Arizona Commerce Authority or Sun Corridor or GPEC and hear updates so that we can understand kind of what the trends and what are the actions that may be coming before the commission in the near future.
Dan, everybody that's listening to this is probably when they hear public utilities, they're wondering about the cost of energy, and they're also wondering, are we going to have any power blackouts this summer?
Yeah. You know, I was actually speaking to a woman. We had a big storm at the end of July last year in Sarita. She was put out of her house and is still out of her house and is dealing with that. But it's interesting to see all the wooden poles being replaced with steel poles. So going through town and wondering how that's going. So, but we've had a lot of questions recently in Green Valley about people being charged for unsolicited spam texts on their phones, and then also scams. Do you have any role in dealing with this?
Right, and that's a good question. We hear from folks all the time throughout the state. We don't have a direct role. That's the FCC, you know, at the federal level that deals with
it regulates this radio station,
yeah,
all radio,
robocalls,
and TV, sure,
so on. But we have limited jurisdiction. What we do get engaged is making sure that people are aware of scams related to securities. We do regulate that, make sure that we're communicating. The FCC reaches out through our commission, and we, you know, get that information out and communicate it to the public through our press releases and Twitter and social media and so on. But that is an issue directly for the FCC.
Regarding securities, do you have the authority to fine?
We do, and we fine quite often. We civilly prosecute people that commit fraud related to securities, partner with the Attorney General's office on criminal prosecution.
And then going back to the St. John's 911 problem, if it comes back to the cell provider in that area, what authority would you have to kind of get that straightened out?
Yeah, we have a couple different options. One is an order to show cause, which could have financial penalties, $5,000 per incident. So we need a determination. What does that mean? We are right now in the middle of a remedy plan that will be an order to Frontier that I can't talk details about now because we're right in the middle of that, but we'll be talking about that next week during our open meeting. There are a couple different options. I will say that ADOA, the Department of Administration for our state, has gotten involved, and they have a 911 office and have been great at finding a new provider. So Frontier's already been taken out of that equation as the provider to the 911 service. They're still the backbone, so we still need to work directly with them. But we're working on a lot of different options right now.
How about the power situation this summer?
top of mind for all of us at the commission and our mm-hmm. staff. Earlier this year and even end of last year, we were having summer preparedness meetings, energy mm-hmm. reliability summits, things mm-hmm. like that, we called them, where we had all the electricity providers come in and talk to us about the energy resources they have on hand. Where are we this summer? Where are we next summer? In summary, I'll say this summer we're prepared. Next summer, there's some uncertainty. So they're doing all they can now to ensure that they procure the right resources and have everything in place, because you've got to account for our existing customers as well as increased load, right? The reason I want to have those economic development meetings, mm-hmm. new companies or new residents coming to the area that they need to be sure that they're able to serve also.
And Lake Powell, with the levels going down at Lake Powell, that does impact energy. I don't know if it impacts Arizona or not, does it?
It could. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been working, the utility's been working closely with the federal government and mm-hmm. the congressional offices to work through that. So at this point, we don't know the full impact as a commission, but it's something we're also considering, the impact of Lake Powell.
Arizona has experienced a tremendous amount of growth. Has this meant a lot of retooling or upgrading for utilities?
In some cases, that's a good question, Dan. I know we had a kind of controversial vote in front of us a couple months ago with SRP, which is a big electricity company in Phoenix. They stated that they need natural gas resources, a peaker plant, meaning for the peak of use of energy. They wanted to grow their existing natural gas plant by 16 additional units up in the Coolidge area. After a lot of hearings and debate and conversation, we ultimately did not approve that. But they are still progressing. I think there are lawsuits involved and so on that I can't get into. But the utilities are shifting and changing and looking at their resources and making sure they have the load necessary to meet that demand.
We'll talk a little bit about water, but generally, what is your regulatory function for Arizona water companies?
Yeah, we regulate private and investor-owned water utilities.
So you don't regulate Tucson Water Company?
Not Tucson Water, no. Mm-hmm. But we regulate about 400 of them. Mm-hmm. So think of them, they're half a dozen very large companies, but the rest are small mom and pop or run by HOAs, primarily rural Arizona. And it's an area I have focused. I've been involved at the national level on the NARUC Water Committee. I'm a vice chair. NARUC is our National Association of Regulated Utility Commissioners. But we have different issues across the state. It's how you implement whatever program or ensure reliability across these different size utilities. And there's different regulatory compliance issues for all of them. They're in a monopoly industry, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't get a choice when you mm-hmm. moved to your home mm-hmm. on who your electricity provider or gas or water company was. So there are certain compliance items that are related to that we're always following up on.
All right, let's take Matt on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I'm a little bit over on the break, Matt, so quickly, please.
Yeah, hey, very quickly, I think you do regulate TEP, and if I'm wrong, correct me. But obviously, you know, we always hear the same story. We've switched to solar. Now we have to discuss raising rates. Is there any potential rate increases coming? And obviously, what's the input costs have gone up to? So what are we looking at for Southern Arizona or Tucson specifically? Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. And that's a good question. I have time to answer now.
Yeah, right, go ahead.
So, yes, we regulate Tucson Electric Power. They have just filed a rate case. You can read it at TEP.com. I'm not able to comment on it, but just know that I would love to hear your input. You can email me. Probably the easiest way, then, instead of listing my long email, is go to azcc.gov, click on my photo, and you can send me an email after you read through that rate case and give me opinion. I've said this before on this show that we hear from a lot of lobbyists. We don't often hear from residents, small businesses, regular folk, I'll call them.
Yeah.
So I would like to hear from the Tucson community that's served by TEP.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Leah Marquez Peterson. She became the first Latina to serve in a statewide office in the state of Arizona, the only commissioner who is not from Maricopa County on the Arizona border regions, which she chairs.
She's actually the Arizona Corporation
Commission. Arizona Corporation Commission, I'm sorry. She'll be eligible to run for a second four-year term in 2024. Dan Scheer is here also from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, go ahead.
I want to reiterate a procedure that you touched on a few minutes ago. Down in our area, we have got about a half dozen water providers. The town of Sarita recently considered buying and operating a water utility. It decided against doing so. But one of the questions raised during this was, who would customers deal with if there was a proposed rate increase? So if the town owns the water company, you're actually dealing with the town council.
Correct, yes. Like if it was Tucson Water, it's mayor and council. If the town of Sahuarita owns it, same thing. We are private and investor-owned water utility. So if a private company acquires them, then it would come before the commission and you can weigh in and speak, and you can be on WebEx or on the phone or drive up to Phoenix and speak. And so on.
And so the question was, because now it is an entity that is governed by you, Global Water Resources is buying this. And so there is a process, again, if people want to complain about a rate increase or something, it goes through the commission. And there are kind of checks and balances to make sure people are heard. Is that right?
Absolutely. So we have administrative law judges within the commission that host public hearings. So they'll have a number of those public hearings to hear from the community. You can always write us, any of the commissioners, a letter, and we'll docket it. We put it in like these online legal folders so that we can all read it. You can call in, you can be on the WebEx, and so on. We are right now in the middle of the global water rate case, so I can't speak to it because I'm like a judge on that rate case. But if folks are, you know, curious, they want to learn more, I would go to the azcc.gov website. On the top right, there's a spot that says e-docket, put in global water, and you can pull up all the material related to their rate case and learn more.
Last summer, several people died because the power companies turned off their power in the middle of the summer. Hopefully, I have not heard about any incidents this summer. Have we learned some lessons, I hope?
Yeah, the commission absolutely got involved in that bill, and we have created a moratorium. People cannot get disconnected from June 1st to October 15th.
So they can't pull the plug from that period.
And we've also enhanced customer service and outreach and low-income programs throughout many different utilities, water, electricity, gas, and so on. So the first step, if folks are listening and they're struggling right now, go to your utility and talk to them directly about either a payment plan or finding out about special programs.
Is Phoenix more expensive, generally, the Salt River Project than TEP?
Salt River Project...
In other words, would you pay more generally being up in the valley than you would in Tucson for your utilities?
That's a good question. Yeah. We don't regulate SRP like we do APS. SRP is a quasi-private government
entity. Dan used to
live
up there working for the Arizona Republic. What do you think?
APS was more expensive than SRP. I remember that.
Yes.
So
yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
First of all, I want to compliment the agency on its website. For being such a complex agency, it is a terrific website.
Thank you.
I learn a lot every time I go there.
I think it can always be better, but yes.
they do a great job. Earlier this year, State Representative Gail Griffin, she wanted to limit those who could actually run for the Corporation Commission. She said that it's a highly technical job. Those who run should have at least 5 years of experience in specified areas like accounting, finance, engineering, things like that. Her plan ended up going nowhere, and I think because people thought, wait a minute, you can't limit people who are running for public office like that. But what did you think of that plan? It is, let's be honest, it is a very technical agency. You do have to have some expertise in certain areas.
It is technical, and I did meet with Representative Griffin at the time to express that, yeah, I did have a steep learning curve when I came in. I'm not from the energy industry. But as elected commissioners, we're representing the people, the families, the state. So I think that we provide a very important perspective, and we have staff on hand that are attorneys and energy experts. The way in which the bill was written, I was very concerned in terms of who actually would qualify to run. As you're probably aware, we tend to have a lot of former state legislators that run for the commission, and pending their background. So it wasn't very clearly written. So, and that's the feedback I provided at the time. And then thankfully, it didn't go anywhere this last session. So I imagine it may come back in the future.
What about gasoline regulation on the pipelines? Everybody's worried about the price of gasoline. We don't want to have an incident where we're not going to be able to now have the deliveries into Tucson. Is that all coming over from one pipeline into Tucson out of West Texas?
So with my former gas station hat on, because I used to own a number of stations here in Tucson.
That's right, you did for about 3 or more years.
Yeah, about 7 years or so.
You had
six locations here in town.
Yeah, different brands were there?
I did, yeah. I controlled the dirt, I called it. I either leased it or owned the dirt, and then would contract with different oil companies. But the pipeline does come from El Paso to our fuel centers.
Is that the Kinder Morgan pipeline?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
And then the additives are squirted in there at the fuel tanks in order to go to the different gas stations. And I'll point out, as a commissioner now with this hat on, very concerned about gasoline prices, how it can, well, you know, our utilities are paying higher gas prices also, as they have trucks and their own fleets that are out there among the states. So all of those increased prices, whether they be supplies or gasoline, you know, could potentially hit the ratepayers in the future. So we are watching all of that very closely.
Is Kinder Morgan a pretty good partner as far as looking out for safety? I mean,
yes.
Are they really regulate that pipeline?
They have been very diligent watching it. We have had issues in the state related to gas, like natural gas pipeline, explosions and things like that have occurred in different areas of the state that we are investigating, and the federal government's involved in that also. So I won't say it's perfect, but I know that safety is certainly top of mind for them.
And speaking of safety, the Phoenix area has had some, in the past year, some high-profile railway accidents.
Yes.
Dan, you know what happened up there, and some of them were in the Tempe area, too, explosions and everything. Is that, do you guys investigate that, or what?
We do.
So we
have a very strong safety division, we call them. They oversee pipeline and railroad. Typically, how it works, if the rail line is crossing into another state, the federal right. government needs to get involved. If it's interstate, we are involved in that investigation. The Tempe investigation is still ongoing, and the federal government's involved. So we are getting updates on that.
If there's high speed between Tucson and Phoenix, would you be involved?
And that would be on an Amtrak or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. A railway line between Tucson and Phoenix, high speed.
I would assume so.
About.
Any railroad crossings go through our commission. So I'm assuming that'll be a major part of any speed train. So,
Dan, it's just a huge portfolio. And most people, the Arizona Corporation Commission, what is that?
Yeah. It is a steep learning curve. Yeah. Electronic vehicles, what role do you have? And more importantly, what people really want to know is when are we going to get more charging stations?
Yeah, so we led on an electric vehicle statewide roadmap months ago, and this started even a couple years prior to that, because you can hear, you know, that so many people are interested in this. TP was a dominant part of that, as well as our other utilities. And there is a statewide electric vehicle roadmap on their website, TEP.com, you can look at. I've met with Mayor Romero. I've spoken to Mayor Gallego's staff in Phoenix about their own electric vehicle plans and how we could be collaborating more and ensuring that TEP is certainly sitting with Mayor Romero and other mayors in their area to talk about kind of the chicken and the egg issue we're in the middle of, right? Mm-hmm. Do you, as a consumer, buy an electric vehicle now, or do you wait till the electric vehicle infrastructure is in place? What we did as a commission, first off, was determine that the electric vehicle chargers themselves are not public utilities. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of obvious, but we needed to determine in this new EV world that we weren't going to regulate them the same way. That's competitive, whoever puts that pedestal on and charges EV rates. But we are the infrastructure. We're regulating that piece. So we are always looking at determining, utilizing that statewide roadmap as a tool. At what point is there growth? How do we leverage federal dollars? A lot of federal money in this now. We need to know our utilities and our communities throughout the state are engaged in that so that we can build that infrastructure. Because it can't all just be in Phoenix or in Tucson. We need rural communities, and we need interconnection to other states, right? So we're in the middle of that now, but I encourage folks that are interested in this to read the EV statewide roadmap on TEP's website.
Earlier caller Matt brought up the word solar, and you would think we would be the solar capital of the world here in Arizona. How much solar do you think we generally use here, percentage-wise, of our total energy?
Yeah, we're about 13 or 14% now. But
should
we,
be higher,
we
I would
should
think,
absolutely but, yeah. be the king of solar in the nation.
Yeah.
California's dominating that now. But that you're speaking to kind of a major debate we've been having at the commission. 10 years ago, or 2006, the commission put in place a mandate for solar or renewable energy and needed to subsidize it because it didn't make sense financially. So you saw ratepayers paying more than $1 billion in subsidies to grow the renewable energy industry in Arizona. Fast forward to today, 2022, I don't believe a mandate is necessary for renewable energy. We are embracing community solar as an idea here and supporting pilot projects and working with a lot of the groups that represent residential solar. We have so many robust programs that we're growing, and utilities have made commitments to their shareholders and their ratepayers that they're moving towards clean energy at different times sure. based on which utility it is. So we're absolutely going that direction. And I think solar and solar tied with battery is the future. And that's the direction we're going.
Let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Al is with us. Go ahead, Al.
I don't know if she's in charge of this, but when are the electric vehicles going to start to pay a road tax? I'm paying road taxes, and they've had their time for a while, and now that we've getting a lot more, they should be doing their fair share also.
Yeah, that's a good question, Al. That's probably a question for your state legislature, because they would tackle that if there were going to be a road tax, or even at the federal level, because I know President Biden's been very supportive of electric vehicle expansion. How we do that again and making sure we have infrastructure in the various states is the challenge. So that's not something we would put in place, but your state legislator.
All right, Dan, do you have anything more before we say goodbye to Leah?
Yeah, real quickly, what is the ACC's role in drought contingency planning?
Yeah, it's an important one, and I think it's often overlooked. As Governor Ducey led on the drought contingency planning a couple of years ago, and you had all the different folks at the table, a lot of our private utilities were also there. What we launched in the last 6 months was a water task force that we're involving not just our agency, but ADWR, ADQ, Environmental Quality, and the different bodies, as well as the utilities and municipalities at the table, to talk about the role the 400 regulated water utilities will have in drought contingency planning. The larger ones are involved and at the table, but I described the water industry when I first sat down that we are mostly small mom and pops, rural, run by HOAs. They need a seat at the table, and so we're escalating that conversation now at the commission to ensure that they're also talking about conservation and drought contingency.
Who monitors like Tucson Water?
Mayor and council.
So that these bigger water companies are regulated by the governing body that they operate in.
Right. So again, we're only private. So because they're public, Tucson Water, Mesa Water, and others are run by their mayor and council.
And as Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, indicated yesterday, huge changes are in the works in the city of Tucson concerning water sustainability. And those changes may be coming as early as the next council meeting, which is next Tuesday. So big changes coming in the city of Tucson, something called zero net water use. Dan, we can talk a bit about that after we let Leah go. Leah, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Dan. Great questions.
Leah Marquez-Peterson, the chairwoman of the Arizona Corporation Commission. We'll take a break right here. More with Dan Scheer after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We thank Leah Marquez Peterson, who really got up early up in St. John's, Arizona. That's a long drive. It's over 200 miles. I know that down to Tucson, but she got up early. She was at a hearing up there about their 911 system, but she made the Buckmaster Show to come in studio, as did Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, I talked a little bit before the break. As this water crisis continues, and we're in now 20, 25 years into this historic drought that goes all the way back, you'd have to go back to the year 1250, 1,000 years or so to find anything like this drought. You're going to have more cities like the city of Tucson, which they're going to be discussing at their meeting next week. Actually, the meeting may be Monday night. Early next week, about sustainability.
Right. And, you know, the question is that I believe the law is that the developer has to show that there's a 100-year water supply or something like this.
Well, they're looking at something called a net zero,
which is
going to take it even – a requirement that will take it even more. I think the big question is, Dan, are these measures going to – severely limit growth?
Well, right now, if you look at the bulk of the growth down here and even in the Phoenix area, it's outside the core. It's in the suburbs. It's in Oro Valley and Marana and Sahuarita and Vail and all of these. And so I don't think it's going to limit it. If there's money to be made, the developers are going to come in and they're going to make it. So I think it's just going to push them into other areas. Now, those areas have to really ask some of these heavy-duty questions, which we have been in Sahuarita because we have Hudbay and their Copper World project, mining project, 5 open pits. It's they're out there. I just saw some photos today from the area. They're grading the land. They still have some permitting processes to go through and everything, so it's going to be a while. The earliest they would really be digging is 2027, but they're coming. They're going to use water, and that is always, in our community, the number one question is, wait a minute, are they going to affect our water supply? So I cannot see Sahuarita doing what Tucson is considering, not in the least.
Okay.
An interesting idea.
Yeah, you bring up something very interesting because I remember, I think it was Ray Carroll he was on the TV show on Arizona Illustrated back in 2007 when he first said, hey, I want to talk about something called a proposed Rosemont mine. And you just said 2027. So by the time they finally get around to extracting these minerals from the earth, it will have been a 20-year process.
And actually, 2027 is Copper World, which is on the western slope of the Santa Ritas. Rosemont on the eastern slope is that's been put on the back shelf, put on the back burner because it is not going to be nearly as lucrative. And so the ore is closer to the surface on the western slope, which will be in full view, by the way, of Green Valley and Sahuarita. They're going through the process, but it's all on private land, whereas Rosemont wasn't. So it's going to be a much quicker process. But yeah, these things normally are, you know, maybe 7 to 8 years of an approval process. But Rosemont certainly has been delayed for various reasons.
Are you finding in your area that people are reporting crimes first on Facebook rather than calling the authorities?
Well, we know people live their entire lives on Facebook. And unfortunately, we had a situation recently, a couple months ago, where there were some things going on at parks that were potentially illegal, or they were, and people would be reporting it on their Facebook as if, you know, gosh, someone should do something about this. And not reporting it to the police department. And we're picked up on this. And
as
we're
if
like,
the
what?
Police department was monitoring everybody's Facebook in Greenville.
So we talked to them, and they said, yeah, that would be impossible. And what people, though, are reluctant to do is when something's kind of a judgment call, like, I don't know if I should call the police about that, call, because mm-hmm. a 911 operator is trained to prioritize stuff
right.
and to make those decisions. So you call in anything, and they may deem it a non-emergency or low priority or whatever, but call if you see something, because they want to know about it. And that was really the message of this, is don't put it on your Facebook yeah. and think that people that the police department is going to find it or that it's dealt with.
Yeah. How about the now vacant hospital in your area? What happens to that building?
Well, the hospital and the land under it are owned by what's called a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust out of the East Coast, and they will not answer any of our questions, even though we've been peppering them with lots of them. So my guess is that and actually from people I've talked to, is that a hospital really can only be a hospital. Mm-hmm. And ours is really, it's only 7 years old, so it's not like it's an old hospital that mm-hmm. needs rehabbing. So I think they're looking for an operator still.
Okay.
But we did do a story on what do you do with an old hospital.
Right.
And you know, a lot of them are carved up into like surgery centers or rehab places or whatever. None of those will ever pay the bills for an entire hospital. Mm-hmm. This is like 150,000 square feet. And so it won't do that. So you really need a hospital to come in. And they do have a line on one. Again, TMC had looked seriously mm-hmm. at coming in, did not do so. But I'm telling you, 9 miles up the road, we have another hospital, a couple years old, in Sahuarita. So How are they doing? They're doing okay. They're only 18 bed. It's Northwest.
Okay.
And a lot of people feel like it's somewhat of a pass through. Like you go there and then they're going to, if you really need.
Hand you off.
To Northwest up in Tucson, which is exactly what we don't want to do. So, and a lot of things can be taken care of there. But for us to lose the Green Valley Hospital, it's not like a true rural area that has lost its hospital. Mm-hmm. And man, now we have to drive hours. It's just not as convenient for us. So it'd be really nice to have it back, but we'll survive if it doesn't come back.
Early voting, the ballots are already in people's hands. They're already voting. What's your take on this? Mine is, and I've been around, didn't get off the bus yesterday. I think there's a lot of confusion still about what district people are in. It's hard to gauge how much interest there is in this primary, which is now less than a month away.
Right. And if you confuse people, they just throw it away and they'll just move on. And we have that down where we are because mm-hmm. the Independent Redistricting Commission, in its wisdom, decided to split the town of Sahuarita into two parts. So it now, one town is in two different state legislative districts, and it's also in two congressional districts. So we actually have a piece of Sarita that is in the same congressional district as Safford, 2 hours away, but not in the same district as people in the other side of town. And mm-hmm. so this makes people much more confused about it. We being in the work that we're in, we mm-hmm. understand these things. We know yes. where the boundaries are drawn and everything. But I think this election cycle, and it happens once every 10 years, mm-hmm. People are confused and they're just going to walk away. So,
and there's so much focus on the Republican side with the governor's race and the Trump candidate in each of the two marquee races, the governor's race and the Senate race.
Right. And what's interesting is that's an important, both of those are very important jobs, but you know what's going to affect you far more than those is who's going to be your state legislator
yes.
and your individual member of Congress.
Yep.
Those are the ones we should be paying attention to, and I completely agree with you. Those are the ones that are kind of being pushed to the side.
But have you noticed that there have been very few forums for the congressional candidate primaries?
Yeah, there's been a couple, right? Yeah,
but some have not even been open to the media,
right? which is typical, unfortunately. But CD6 Republican, which is that new district leans to the Republican side, so it's that you can make a good argument that that person may end up being the member of Congress, and mm-hmm. it's open because Ann Kirkpatrick is retiring, but that one, they've had a few. You can find information online if you want. Mm-hmm. So it's out there. But I agree, it's not been nearly as maybe like before.
How has the Great Resignation affected WIC Communications and your dozens of papers that you have?
Well, we had Jan Lesher on your show a couple of months ago, and mm-hmm. I remember her saying we have the highest number of openings in the county that
yes.
we have ever had. Mm-hmm. We also are at that situation with our newspapers in 11 states in the West, and we've had the highest openings. I just saw some some numbers, at least in the last, decade. And so these are really tough to fill. We're in some remote markets. That's part of it. But part of it is just finding qualified candidates. It is so difficult to do, to recruit and to retain. So we're taking action, but it's a slow move.
And for folks that don't know, Dan is the editorial director for the 24 newspapers owned by Sierra Vista based WIC Communications. So it's a tough sell. You did say you're in some rural markets, but newspapers continue to struggle. If Dylan's listening at TucsonSentinel.com, he knows this number a lot better than I do, but I think I read something like in just the last 10, 15 years, one-third of the papers have now are shuttered.
Absolutely, and I heard recently that, one or two are going every day, or they're consolidating, or they're just turning into something that really just isn't worth reading, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And so we are bound and determined to not allow that to happen, and we have a commitment to these rural markets, and we're in there swinging away, and we've got a great team at WIC.
In some of these small towns that you're in, it is basically the local radio station. In my career, I've worked in a couple of those small towns,
right,
where you work with the local newspaper. That's it.
Right. If you look at, for instance, Sydney, Montana, where we are, that is where everybody gets their news.
Yeah.
Is that it's an incredible circulation number for such a small town. It's because that's the only place they're getting their news.
Yeah.
So
anyway, thanks so much, Dan,
thank you
for everything you've done for this show and continue to do in the future. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right. Matt Russell coming up from Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist with Weekend Watch.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. This might be one of those days where the Buckmaster Show guarantee of at least 10 degrees could 10 degrees cooler could translate into about 15 to 20 degrees cooler in Silver City. They're in the mid-80s right now. Perfect time of year over there. They've had a lot of rain to green up the Gila National Wilderness. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, dedicated foodie, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm getting my weekend on. Can you see me? How do I look? Am I doing it right?
Yeah, you're doing it right. And I don't know if I even want to see that picture of you in the Speedo.
As a public service, I'll keep that to myself.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. What's going on? A lot of people like to kind of kick back this cool off with a nice cocktail. What can you do? How can you help us out?
They sure do. You know, and this weekend marks the launch of the new seasonal cocktail menu at the Tough Luck Club in the basement of Riley Pizza downtown, where I think you're definitely going to want to celebrate summer. You know, the temperature drops dramatically when you walk down those stairs. divided into categories like shaken and stirred and other constructions, these new cocktails really are storytellers in their own right, like the Apostle's Price, with two kinds of gin, an Italian Amaro and citrus liqueur, or a cocktail called I Beg Your Pardon with tequila, aloe liqueur, basil syrup, and a red wine float. Nearly 15 libations are on this landscape, and I say what better time to do some summer sipping than this weekend at the Subterranean Tough Luck Club.
Matt, what about the beer lovers?
Well, I say Viva La 1912 this weekend. The Westside Brewery, 1912 Brewing Company, they are turning 7 years old tomorrow, and they're going to be celebrating in the traditions of Carnival at their Latin Carnival Saturday from noon to 9 p.m. They're going to be releasing some special Latin-inspired brews. They're going to have a couple of food trucks adding their own flair to the fiesta, and they're also going to want us all to dress up in our best Fantasia costumes, the traditional costume and clothing worn to celebrate Carnival. It's all tomorrow at 1912 Brewing on North Forbes, just west of I-10. Now, Bill, you're a world traveler. Have you ever been to Rio for Carnival?
Well, we've been to Rio, but not during the Carnival, but loved Rio very much. What a beautiful setting for a city. You know, I'll have to really dig into the closet, though, to find something that would be appropriate for the appropriate for the Carnival here at 1912 Brewing. Anyway, how about, you know, if you get out early enough and it's still good walking time of year here?
Yeah, for sure. And tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 10:30 a.m., the Tucson Presidio Museum will once again host their popular Turquoise Trail Tour, where you can kind of explore Tucson's downtown with a guided walking tour and see historic buildings and get a slice of Tucson's history and really hear the stories that make Tucson so special. So it's a 2.5-mile walk, and you literally follow a turquoise-colored line that's painted on the sidewalks. And after the guided tour, of course, you might consider lunch at one of downtown's great restaurants like Hub, which recently rolled out a new seasonal menu. This tour, I think, is perfect for Tucson newcomers and longtime residents alike. All the information is at TucsonPresidio.com.
Is it true you were born on the 4th of July?
Guilty as charged. Yes, I was a patriotic, baby, and a big day for me. And my mother and father said, I think I was 16 years old before I realized that the fireworks weren't for me. And they said, I looked at them and I said, they're not.
Happy birthday week, Matt Russell. Thanks. We'll look for your work in Inside Tucson Business. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That organization is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Our original theme music from Chris Stefan, thanks to Rose Brandt and everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Tom Fairbanks, and really the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.